Our next public hearing is conditional use 1704 PMP Associates.
This application is an application to consider the conditional use of land in a GR General Residential District for healthcare and medical offices to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 33.045 acres, more or less, lying on the southerly side of Zion Church Road, being Road 382, and 1/4 mile west of Byard Road, being Road 384. Gentlemen, on this application, we received several agency comments again. There was a traffic impact study performed by the applicants for DelDOT under the rules and regulations for subdivision streets, attached to a cover letter from Todd Salmon, project engineer for DelDOT, is a McCormick Taylor review of the traffic impact study. Makes reference to what they reviewed and their considerations. Should the county choose to approve their proposed development, the following items should be incorporated into the site design and reflected on the record plan. All applicable agreements, letter agreements for off-site improvements and traffic signal agreements should be executed prior to entrance plan approval for the proposed development. Developer should enter into a traffic signal agreement with DelDOT for the intersection Route 20 and the site access. The agreement should include pedestrian signals, crosswalks, and interconnection at DelDOT's discretion. Developers should enter into a traffic signal agreement with DelDOT for the intersection of Route 20 and Johnson Road, Byard Road. The agreement should include pedestrian signals, crosswalks, and interconnection at DelDOT's discretion. They also have 5 provisions for bicycle and pedestrian improvements should be included. Please note that this review generally focuses on capacity and level of service issues. Additional safety and operational issues will be further addressed through DelDOT subdivision review process. Now, that's approximately a quarter inch document. It is a part of the record. We have a memorandum from the Sussex Conservation District dated September 19th, making reference to this application. There are 8 soil types on this site. The applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation after completion of construction. They provide additional comments that the site contains hydric soils and that the applicant would be required to follow all state and federal requirements as they pertain to wetlands. That there are may be impacts are on the storm flood hazard areas and tax ditches, that the applicant would be required to follow state sediment and stormwater requirements for any on-site drainage improvements. Attached to that memorandum is a copy of an aerial infrared copy of the soil map showing the soils on this site. References to soil information and references to prime and other important farmlands. From the County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division, we are advised that this site is located in a county operated and maintained sanitary sewer and or water district, which is the Johnson's Corner Sanitary Sewer District. At Ordinance 38, construction will be required that the current or preliminary estimate of the system connection charge rate is $3,600 per EDU. That conformity to the preliminary engineering report for Johnson's Corners and the South Coastal Area Planning Study update will be required. That the project is within the boundary of the Johnson's Corner Sanitary Sewer District. A referendum was held on July 21st of 2007 to determine if the district would be established. Area residents were in favor of the sewer district and approved the referendum. The preliminary schedule indicates sewer service could become available to the area as early as summer of 2010. Developers could install off-site infrastructure to an approved connection point to expedite service. The project is in the Johnson's Corner Sanitary Sewer District, and connection to the sewer district is mandatory. Sewer capacity has been allocated on the basis of 4 EDUs per acre. A project that exceeds 132.18 EDUs will not be approved. The proposed development will require a developer-installed collection system in accordance with county standard requirements and procedures. County engineer must approve the connection point. The developer will be required to complete or participate in off-site sewer construction and upgrade at the developer's expense. The county engineering department requires that the sewer concept plan be submitted for review and approval. We received a memorandum from Joel Farr, manager of Bay 20 LLC, owner of two parcels containing approximately 34 acres, a portion of which abuts Route 382. The real property owned by Bay 20 is in part adjacent to the real property owned by the applicant. Bay 20 is aware that there are a few medical facilities available in the vicinity of Bay 20 and PMP's real property. They have reviewed PMP's conditional use application and see that it entails approximately 100,000 square feet of space intended for use at a medical office complex, which will provide quality medical care for the surrounding communities, and supports the application. From Carl M. Freeman Companies, from Thomas C. Haverstadt. In reference to the application, Bayside, a community of the Carl Freeman Companies, is located at the intersection of 54 and 20. The property is situated approximately 1.5 mile from the medical complex proposed. The community of Bayside 6 sites on approximately 875 acres, and will have 1,640 homes once completed, and in reference to the inclusion of a retail center, golf course, and several sports recreational facilities. Bayside has reviewed the proposed site plan and is aware that the facility will be approximately 102,000 square feet in size. It is our understanding this project will attract multi-specialty medical practices, contains a surgery center, and an acute care facility. Bayside, as well as the Carr and Freeman Companies, welcome and support the medical project of the applicants in Roxana. And we have a note from the date to yesterday, October 24th. We understand that your client, PMP Associates, has applied for conditional use approval for the development of healthcare and medical offices on land located off Zion Church Road near Roxana. As a nearby property owner, Twin Cedars LLC would like to express to you its support of your conditional use application. Additional medical and healthcare facilities in this area are desperately needed and would be a wonderful addition to the growing community. And that's signed Stephanie Hansen, counsel for Twin Cedars LLC. Gentlemen, we have been provided, for the record, the commissioners were provided with a copy of an exhibit booklet which referenced a project summary, site plan, building renderings, a zoning map, references to the sanitary sewer district, and memorandum of understanding, DLDOT traffic impact study and review letter, a plus letter in response, proposed conditions, proposed findings, and attached. We also received in the office a copy of the rare species survey and habitat assessment report, forest stand delineation report, traffic impact study again, and DLDOT's TIS review letter, original land revised wetlands delineation report from JCM Environmental, copy of the deeds, and orthophoto map tax map, land use map, zoning map, and USGS quad map as a supplemental attachment just in the office. They are both a part of the record. And that's all I have at this time.
All right, sir. We thank you. And the chair recognizes Mr. Fuquay.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, gentlemen. For the record, my name is Jim Fuquay. I'm an attorney here in Georgetown, and I am representing the applicant, PMP Associates. PMP is comprised of Drs. Paul Brown, Dr. Mark Brown, and Dr. Peter Suback. And Dr. Mark Brown and Dr. Paul Brown are with me tonight. They're seated here behind me. Peter could not be here this evening. Also with me, again seated in the second aisle here, is Bill Corello, who is a business advisor. And also seated right here next to me is Ted Williams from Landmark Engineering. As Mr. Lang stated, there was an exhibit packet that was submitted that each of you gentlemen have. And what I did, just so you understand, the last page of that exhibit packet is a cover letter to this exhibit book that I submitted. And in the exhibit book are a number of larger and bulkier reports that were done. And it seemed to me that some of these exhibit books we were giving to you were kind of getting out of hand in terms of their size. So for reference, it's in the record if you want to see them, and I note them in there. But I gave you what I thought was really things that were more relevant to your review. This is a conditional use application for a healthcare and medical office complex. It will contain a maximum of 102,000 square feet of floor space to be located in six buildings. The site is on the south side of Route 20, which is Zion Church Road, just west of Johnson's Corner. The site contains 33 acres. The proposed development would be located on approximately the front half of the property, or the front 16 acres. The rear half would basically remain in its present condition. And let me just refer to the site plan to show you, because I think it is pretty important. This is the entire 33-acre parcel. The development, as I said, is on the front half, or front 16 acres. The rest of it's going to remain in its existing condition. The rear of this property has a large area of federal jurisdictional wetlands located right here, and the rear of this is entirely wooded. The front of it is mostly clear. There are some small areas of woods that would be removed. And that's basically the physical layout of the property.
This parcel is currently zoned GR, General Residential, which, as you know, would permit single-family dwellings and manufactured homes on individual lots at a density of approximately 4 units per acre. There's several nearby properties located on Route 20 that are zoned for business uses. In the exhibit packet that I submitted to you, there is a tax map that shows the some of the zoning in the area. But along Route 20 there is a car sales lot. There is a grocery-type store. There are the apartments located at Twin Cedars. And again, our application is not for rezoning, but for conditional use for a healthcare and medical office complex. As you know from other applications, the zoning ordinance states that conditional uses are generally of a public or semi-public character and are essential and desirable for the general convenience and welfare of residents of that area. And we certainly believe that this requested use fully meets the intention of the conditional use ordinance, because a proposed healthcare and medical office is indeed essential and desirable for the people that live in this area. And again, as you're aware, this is an area where the residents have been increasing significantly over the past few years. This site is located less than 2 miles north of the intersection of Route 20 with Route 54. And that intersection, of course, is the actual location of the entrance to Americana Bayside, which again, as you know, is a large residential, retail, and recreational development. Route 54 is an extensively developed area. There's many existing residential developments within approximately 3 miles of this site,
With me just driving down the road from this site onto Route 54, I noted Ashley Manor, Vanmar Lake, Swan Estates, Swan Cove, and Swan Key, Fenwick West, Keenwick Sound, Keenwick West, The Refuge, Teaberry Woods, Shady Park, Bayview Landing, Mallard Lakes, and of course Americana Bayside. In addition, Brandywine Assisted Living, which is a continuing care facility, which is under construction, and I believe just opening their first phase of that. That was actually originally approved as part of the Americana Bayside development, and then was sold off to the Brandywine Assisted Living Group. And again, that's located just south of our site on Route 20. That development pattern in that area is moving northward on Route 20. In addition to our application tonight before you, the property to the east of us is proposed for residential development. It has not been presented to the county yet, but that's a proposed development to be known as the Woods at Johnson's Corner. And the property to our west is also proposed for redevelopment. And I think you're all familiar with that. That is the existing Twin Cedars apartment complex, and that's being proposed for, as I said, redevelopment for residential housing. Now, the state strategies plan designates this area as a level 4 area. However, I would ask you to at least consider that that designation really predates the reality of the growth that has occurred and continues to occur in this area. And in fact, as Mr. Lank mentioned in one of the reports he read from the county engineer, in this area, the area residents, by a vote of almost 3-1, approved the creation of the Johnson's Corner Sanitary Sewer District, and that was just in July of this year. That sanitary sewer district was officially created by the Sussex County Council on August 7th, 2007. And that proposal basically created this new sewer district. And by doing that, the county certainly not only signified a recognition that growth was happening in this area, but obviously that was an affirmative action by the county to accommodate that growth and to deal with it. The PMP property, as well as the other two properties I mentioned, the Woods and the Twin Cedar parcels, are all within the new Johnson's Corner Sanitary Sewer District. And I certainly think that this area will be designated as a growth area in the revised land use plan and probably in the future state strategies map based on the fact that it's now an expanded county sewer district. Again, in the exhibit book I submitted to you, in Exhibit D, there was a letter from the county engineer office verifying that the Johnson's Corner Sanitary Sewer District has been created, and this is part of it. And also the review comments from the county engineer alluded to the EDUs that have been assigned to this parcel. Now, with the existing and the expected future population, there's a strong need for health care and medical services in this area, and I think that's rather obvious. And that's particularly true because, as you know from your experience as commissioners, many of the new residents who are moving here are older residents. They're second homeowners, they're retirees. That fact is recognized in our current as well as the draft of the proposed land use plan. That plan recognizes this demographic trend. The existing land use plan states that Sussex County has a much older population as compared to Newcastle County and to Kent County. And the comp plan states that this older population is significant because older residents do have some special needs, and certainly the most important of those needs is the availability of medical services. We do not believe that there is adequate medical services currently available in this immediate area. Area residents here must travel to Lewis and the BB Hospital or to Salisbury and Peninsula General Hospital for many medical services. This new facility will not only create these medical services in a nearby and convenient area to these residents, but it will also make the drive to Lewis or to Salisbury unnecessary. And as you well know, that drive in the summer months can be very difficult and time-consuming. Now, this application for the health care and medical offices it really encompasses more than the traditional doctor's offices that you might think of just an office complex. The ultimate makeup of this facility will depend on market factors, obviously, you know, who chooses to locate there, and obviously needs and supply. But the intent here is to have not only physicians' offices for different specialties, such as orthopedic, cardiologists, and other type specialties that we're familiar with, but also other type of services for people in this area. They would be outpatient services. They would include what you would call an imaging center, which would be x-rays, MRIs, and CAT scans, things of that nature, a physical therapy and rehab center, perhaps a sleep lab for people with sleep disorders, a pain management center, an outpatient surgery center where minor type surgeries would be performed without the need to go to the hospital, a cardio lab, and possibly a medical aid unit, which is basically a medical services for non-life-threatening conditions, a somewhat of a mini emergency type room off-premises from a hospital. Now, these facilities that go beyond a doctor's office would be Medicare certified, and they would be licensed by the state of Delaware where required. Now, as to the specifics of the proposal, as I stated, the facility would be served as a part of the county sewer district, part of the New Johnson Corner Sanitary Sewer District. All sewer infrastructure would be built to county standards. PMP has entered into a memorandum of understanding with a couple of the other proposed developers in this area to contribute to the initial sewer construction requirements on an agreed to equitable basis, and a copy of that memorandum again is included in Exhibit D of the book. Central water would be provided by Artesian Water Company. They are a public regulated water company. They'd be providing for domestic use and fire protection. And a 16-inch water main actually already exists right in front of the property on Route 20. Fire protection would be provided by the Roxana Volunteer Fire Company. All of the buildings in the complex would have sprinkler systems. And all would comply, of course, with the fire marshal's recommendations. Mr. Corello and representative of the engineer's office recently met with representatives of the fire company, and also a joint meeting with the representatives of the fire company and the fire marshal's office to review the site plan. They reviewed that. They were favorable to the site plan. They did have some suggestions to be incorporated into the final site plan, and those suggestions will be incorporated. As part of the planning process to get here tonight, a traffic impact study was completed. That was done by Worth Rogers, who you gentlemen are familiar with. And of course, that was done based on DLDOT's instructions. The traffic impact study has been reviewed and accepted by DLDOT. Again, as you recall, DLDOT contracts with McCormick and Taylor, who are traffic engineers, and they actually issued the approval letter on behalf of DLDOT. A summary of that is in Exhibit E of the book I submitted to you, and basically what that letter states is that DLDOT would require the developer to enter into a traffic signal agreement for Route 20 and the site access, a traffic signal agreement for Route 20 and the Johnson Road by road intersection, in addition to certain bicycle and pedestrian easements and improvements at the actual site. In addition, as part of the planning process, the applicant had wetland delineations performed by JCM Environmental. Basically, that disclosed what I mentioned before, the large area of federally regulated wetlands to the rear of the property. There are some drainage ditch associated wetlands located on the front of the property, which will require some relocation of those ditches and perhaps mitigation on site. The wetland delineation has been submitted to the Army Corps of Engineers for final approval. That has not been received yet, but it's anticipated within a month, probably. The site does provide in this area right back here, which is shown better right here. The site does provide a 50-foot buffer from the federal 404 wetland line. that'll remain in a natural state. That 50-foot buffer is not wetlands. It's basically being provided to buffer the wetlands from any of the impacts of the development. And as you know, the county does have a requirement for a 50-foot buffer from tidal wetlands, but there is no requirement for buffers from federally regulated wetlands. So this is a voluntary buffer that's being created. Also under the FEMA maps, the site is not located within the 100-year floodplain. As part of its work, JCM Engineering also prepared a forest stand delineation report and a rare and threatened species report, which are in the booklet that I submitted. And in summary, as I mentioned before, the front of the portion of the property is mostly cleared. There are a couple little scattered areas of woods there, but for the most part, it's cleared. That is where the development will occur. The rear of the property is mostly wooded, almost entirely wooded. It does contain a significant area of wetlands and animal habitat, and as I've stated, it will remain in its existing natural state. The plans before you tonight show no disturbance of this area by this proposed conditional use. Now, in designing the actual site layout, one of the considerations that went into that was to attempt to utilize some of the suggestions that have been presented in the community design elements of the comprehensive plan update. Now, I realize that hasn't been enacted yet, but some of the suggestions in there are pretty straightforward and just make sense. For instance, the use of street trees and native plant type landscaping, appropriate street lighting depending on the location, extensive sidewalks with pedestrian orientation. What we did, we tried to incorporate those into this plan. One of the suggestions in the community design element is to remove parking from the front yards and keep parking more on the side and rear yards. And at the plus meeting that was held some time ago, Mr. Katz, who isn't here tonight, the original plan did have parking located in front of building one. And he suggested, which I'm sure was part of the community design elements, that that be eliminated in order to create a better visual appearance from the road that would basically be showing the front of the building with landscaping as opposed to cars parked there. And again, we certainly agreed with that and realized that was an improvement. In addition, it suggested that that the architectural design incorporate pitched roofs and varied roof lines to add some visual interest to a project. And again, just for appearance, this is the conceptual idea of the type of building that'd be looking at the front of building one. Again, different roof lines, different reliefs to create some style to it as opposed to just a plain flat type roof buildings. This is just showing at least a proposed landscaping type of outline, the type of native plants and trees that would be utilized in landscaping the buildings as well as the buffers. Now, referring to the site plan, which is the colored version up there, and there's a copy of that in your exhibit books. I believe it's under B. Basically, what that's showing is there'll be one entrance from Route 20. We will do the required Del Dot or recommended Del Dot improvements, D-cell lane, X-cell lane, and the easements and pedestrian type improvements they want. There's extensive landscaping that would be located along the entrance of the building as well as the entrance road coming in. Again, landscaping would be done along all the borders of the property with the adjacent property owners. The parking in front of building one, as I said, has been removed to create a better visual effect. The plan is showing six office buildings. The square footage ranges from approximately 15,000 square feet in the smallest building to about 20,000 square feet in the largest building. Again, an extensive sidewalk system to interconnect all the buildings. The plan shows basically the internal drive and the parking areas. There's approximately 450 parking spaces that would be required per the ordinance. Our preliminary plans were showing about 515 parking spaces, so we would exceed what's required. We also would certainly meet all the handicap requirements, and our plans would be to exceed what handicap parking spots are required also. There'd be lighting in the parking lots that would be directional lighting, so it would basically be directed down onto the parking areas. The site plan shows trash receptacle areas or pads, and again, they would be properly landscaped and screened. We're not showing on here a specific bus stop, but if and when a bus stop becomes available and realistic for the site, it can be incorporated either on Route 20 or at a place inside the complex along the entrance road. What we envision would be a campus-like like setting. We want to set this up to be pedestrian-friendly. We want to have places outside where people can sit on benches, have some picnic tables, and have some sheltered areas where people can sit. That would not only be for the fact that you'd have employees here who would be going outside, but the public who come and have tests done and have appointments. Often you have to wait on tests, or often family or friends may drive you there and they have to wait for you. So we want to create that kind of campus feel where people, weather permitting, can sit outside and things of that nature. As again, since it's a health campus, no smoking would be permitted at the premises. Stormwater management areas are shown. Stormwater management will be handled through a combination of biofiltration swales and biofiltration strips and stormwater basins. I mentioned the 50-foot wetland buffer, which is provided to the rear. We do show on the site plan a proposed helicopter pad that is not anticipated to be used extensively. We just thought it would be good planning to have a emergency landing location earmarked on there, so there'd be no wires or things of that nature located in that area. And that would be in an emergency. If someone at the facility needed to be removed by helicopter, they could be. And in addition, that certainly could be utilized by the state police and by the fire company or anyone else who absolutely would need to use it. Development will be phased in that one building will be built at a time. The phasing, quite frankly, will be based on the market conditions and demand. The size and the layout of the offices will generally be customized to the user. The complex will be set up as a condominium type of regime, and offices could be sold to a physician or to a facility, or they could be rented, and that, again, that'll depend as the market dictates. As a commercial condominium, it's just like a residential condominium. There's actually an association created, and that association would collect dues and would manage and maintain the common areas. The general hours of operation for most physicians' offices would probably be about 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. There may be some operations that go at longer hours. I would think maybe 7 in the morning to 8 at night, but we wouldn't anticipate hours longer than that, with the exception of the medical aid unit that I mentioned, which again, in the summertime, may very well be a 24-hour-a-day operation for the benefit of the area residents. We estimate that at full operation of the whole 102,000 square feet of total space, it would create between 200 and 250 permanent medical-related jobs in the area. And in addition, obviously, the complex will create economic benefit to the county in the form of sewer impact fees, user fees, transfer taxes, property taxes, and building fees. The exhibits I submitted to you in Exhibit G are some proposed conditions, which I would ask you to consider if you can recommend a vote favorable to this. In Exhibit H are proposed findings, which, again, I just suggest might be utilized in support of this. This is a conditional use application that we believe truly is essential and desirable for the convenience and welfare of people who live in this part of Sussex County, and we do hope that you will be able to recommend approval to the County Council. And that will conclude our presentation, with the exception of any questions you may have for myself or for the gentleman that I introduced.
All right, sir. We thank you. We'll see if anybody has any questions, and we'll start with Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. Fuqua, you've done a good job answering some of my questions. I am going to ask your indulgence if you would perhaps be repetitive just for sake of my note keeping here on some of these. But
well, no one ever accused me of being repetitive before.
And I'm going to be happy for Mr. Couts, who couldn't be here, that you and the applicant did consider his comments, because that was one of the questions that I did have regarding the relocation, his recommendation of the relocation of building number one. And I think he also had some comments about building six and building five, and I think that you, with your site plan, you've addressed his comments on those as well.
Yeah, we removed the parking, and that was a very good comment. I know Denrek had some comments about building six and five, and there's a certain compromise you have to reach. I mean, Denrek's position is basically, we'd like you to be, you know, 500 feet away from any wetlands, and we'd like you not to cut down any trees. And I'm being exaggerating a bit, but not that much.
Not much.
What we've done here, again, there is no state requirement for buffer from federal wetlands. There is no county requirement. There is no federal requirement. We're voluntarily creating a 50-foot buffer. We are removing a very slight amount of trees from the large contiguous stand of trees. One of the maps I submitted that's in that exhibit book there, basically, if I can just kind of... This shows an aerial of the site, and superimposed on here is the developed area. And what you can see here is that building six and part of building five does indeed enter into this tree area here. So there will be trees removed, but you can see where that area is right here. And if you take that section where trees are being removed there from this large contiguous piece, I mean, I doubt if it's 3% of the entire forest. So really 97% of the trees on this site in the contiguous area are being saved, which I think is...
Would you mind showing that to Mr. Smith? Because yes. I don't think he could see it from here. Yes, the question.
This is showing the entire parcel. This is showing the development site superimposed on it. And you can see these are the buildings that were mentioned, five and six right here.
Yes.
There is an area here where, yes, there will be trees removed. But in the context of the large contiguous stand, you can see that's a very, very minor portion of that. And again, that wetland buffer is also provided on the other side.
I might just, if we can get the, well, as long as we're up here, you can take this out of my booklet, just to get the record straight. That may be a typo in there regarding the, about the pileated woodpecker. It says the plan does propose any disturbance. I think that you're indicating for the record it does not propose. Is that correct?
I will confirm that is a typo.
All these gentlemen over here are going like this just as hard as they can, so apparently that was...
For the record, it does say this plan does propose disturbance. No, it does not propose disturbance.
That drawing that you just showed, that is not on any of your exhibits. No. Would you mind giving it to one of these gentlemen, let them put it up there for the benefit of anybody in the public that might want to see it? And again, those of you, I know it's difficult to see, if you have an interest, please feel free to get up, come take a look at it, and just don't make a lot of noise when you do it. Thanks.
There is no parking in the front yard setback.
Correct.
No parking there. And you are exceeding the number of required parking spaces by how many? Was that 65?
They were the numbers I used. Now, that's obviously, that'll be subject to final site plan review, but it's going to exceed the required.
All right. And you stated on the record that your applicant will follow the recommendations of DelDOT and McCormick and Taylor insofar as intersection and signals, things like that, of traffic on Zion Church Road.
Yes, and that is one of the suggested conditions.
Also in your exhibit, it states that the applicant does have a willingness and would cooperate with the Division of Historical and Cultural Affairs as it relates to a potential archaeological study that may or may not occur as development. happens on the site.
Yeah, and there was no indication that there was anything, and, you know, if the state wanted to utilize that before development, they could.
And this is where I was asking your indulgence there a few minutes ago. Your days, you said, and hours, you presume them to be approximately 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Said there may be some aspects of this operation that could be 7 a.m. to 8 p.m., with the exception of the medical aid facility, which could be as demand to satisfy need 24/7.
As this is built out, there's going to be a lot of varied types of specialties and types of offices located there. And I know there's certain, particularly with some of the testing, there's certain things that people want done very early, particularly if you've been down this road, you're familiar. If you have to fast and things like that the day before, you don't want to have an appointment at 10 o'clock in the morning. You know, you're willing to get up at 5 o'clock and go in and have blood work done and things of that nature. So realistically, most of the doctor's offices, you know, are probably going to be hours of 8 or 9 to 5 o'clock. But there will be some exceptions to that depending on the discipline involved. And again, of course, the medical aid center, again, if warranted, you know, would be and hopefully could be something that could be open 24 hours a day.
Thank you. I think you addressed the issue of lighting on the site. That any that would be.
They'd be the lower types of lights that just go down.
Signage. What's your pleasure?
I did overlook that. There would be a complex sign at the entrance, and then there would probably be board signs at each building, you know, listing the different offices or facilities in those buildings.
Certainly going to be a need for dumpsters, and they're taken care of in the site plan.
Yeah, it's showing, I think there's 6 or 7 dumpster locations shown. There's one down the bottom there. And again, I'd be subject to final site plan review.
And the regime, the management regime, or this ownership, I believe you said that I'm asking you to repeat was that you will have restrictive covenants and the possibility, dependent on how the market goes, that this could be condominiumized and sold. Was that?
Yeah, the anticipation is that it would be condominiumized, and the, you know, a doctor or a whoever would purchase it, they would customize what they want to buy. The interest and the fees that are paid are normally based on square footage, so you'd have varying interest. And again, all the common elements, the parking area, the lights, the stormwater management, all those things would be a common expense that everybody would contribute to. And then, much like a residential condominium, you're responsible for your own unit inside.
And any of those restrictions would, and this being a conditional use, and the commission and county council could put restrictions on you, would the applicant... you'd mentioned that the rear of the site there would be no further development. Would that be something that we would want to include, no further development without a public hearing, another rehearing?
Well, we couldn't have any further development without a rehearing. So
I think the reason that Mr. Smith asked that is because there has been one where there was a site plan where the front half was developed, and then 5 years later the back half was the application. So
I think I was involved in the front half.
I'm sorry I brought that up then. But yeah, I think certainly if there was going to be a site plan review anyway, if it was something where it was, you know, material change, it would have to come back for a public hearing.
What are the thoughts as to security for the site? Now, we know that this is in a state investment level 4, which it's remote and far afield from police substations. Are there going to be narcotics, drugs, things like that that would be an attraction to reprobates and those of our society that might want to break into this site?
Well, and well, being doctor's offices, yes, there'd be prescriptive drugs that would be available. They would be, there's normal procedures for how they are locked up. There would be security devices that would be utilized in all the buildings. That hasn't been detailed, but Mr. Corello and I did discuss that, and there's possibly there would be some type of on-site
security. It wouldn't be located there, but, you know, there are security services that visit sites and keep an eye on things. But this, again, would be a rather large complex that would certainly justify that type of security.
Just another couple of questions or two, if you would, please. You had referenced some of the other development that's going to be before the commission, the woods at Johnson's Corner, et cetera, and in reading this portion of the exhibit book that I had, it mentions possible filling in of a tax ditch if it's permitted and going for that. Is there a plan, is there a comprehensive view of the development here in that Johnson's Corner area of any negative impacts or any positive impacts of what you do when you fill in that tax ditch or rechannel it somewhere?
Well, again, the tax ditch would probably be piped, so it really wouldn't change anything other than it wouldn't get clogged up because it would be piped. So that would probably be...
So are you saying it probably will be piped or it will be piped?
Let me ask Mr. Williams to address it.
Ted Williams, for the record. I'm a professional engineer and study Delaware for Landmark Engineering. And yes, the entire tax ditch will be piped. It will not be filled in whatsoever. So if anything, it will provide an improvement there because of the maintenance of the ditch will be a lot easier because it will be a closed conduit system.
And get full of trash.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be easily maintained, too, as a closed conduit system.
Okay. So you've been making progress with this Batson Branch tax decision.
We are starting that process as this meeting goes on tonight.
Are there waters of the U.S. on this? Is that a part of the wetlands that McCauley did?
That is the federal jurisdictional wetlands.
That is that. Okay. Yes. And since I don't have it in this version that I have, where is the Blue Line stream? And what are the impacts on that?
This is the area that's the Blue Line stream. This is the area where we are going to be doing some filling there. We have been in contact, JC Environmental has been in contact with the Corps. The Corps has been down on the site, and they're aware that we're going to be proceeding that way and going for a permit for that. It's less than a tenth of an acre of what that ditch is. It connects into another waterway, and that's the reason why the Corps has jurisdictional over it. It is non-tidal, and we are going to provide some areas of mitigation, provide some additional wetlands on the site. And as a matter of fact, one of the wetland areas that non-jurisdictional that is on the western edge of the property, we're going to be expanding that into additional wetlands. That would be this area.
North of it.
That would be this area right here. There is a wetland area there. We're going to be expanding that. We should have stormwater management as blue in most cases, other than the area where we're going to be mitigating wetlands. They will be dry facilities. One of the things that came out of the plus comments was to minimize any standing water on the site so that we don't have waterfowl on the property.
So that Blue Line stream doesn't have a continuous flow?
No. It's a drainage ditch, but it's because it's connected, it's hydrologically connected to waters of the U.S. under the current Corps regulations, therefore it becomes part of the waters of the U.S.
All right, gentlemen, thank you.
Mr. Gordy?
I just have one. How will you determine if the medical aid facility is needed? I mean, I would think that would be needed right away, but maybe not.
Well, I think the general consensus is that it's needed. I know that there's other interests in providing those services in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously some of this is market determined, but... That's the determination of my clients that it is needed in that area and that there will be someone interested in opening that facility.
So you don't know what facility will be begin first? I mean, is this going to be market-driven? I mean, is medical offices first, or do we know?
Probably dentist's office first, but let's say Drs. Brown or dentists. And, Pete's a oral surgeon, but no, the marketing hasn't done. That's really Mr. Corello's job once the approval is obtained is to get the marketing done and to basically get the clients and the tenants.
That's all the question I have.
All right, so Mr. Johnson.
And am I correct, Mr. Fuqua, that there may be other professionals renting, such as engineers, accountants?
You know, I stuck that in the conditions, and I wasn't sure about that myself. I saw that it was in another application that had been done, and that had been put in there. There's no intention. I've never even discussed it with my clients about anything other than non-medical. But the reality of the world is, you know, if they didn't rent or if they didn't sell, could there be professionals, you know, white-collar type, you know, engineers, lawyers, accountants, things of that nature? I throw that out to you. I put that in the
covering
the
bases.
Again, rather than come back to you and ask for it.
Engineer and accountants would be okay.
I know your omission of one occupation, but that's okay.
Well, we'll see.
I guess I have a comment for Mr. Williams. For the benefit of the commission in the future, we would appreciate if your responses to the plus comments are superimposed on the original comments that you receive.
Okay.
That saves me the trouble having to go back and forth and figure out whether you addressed all the issues or not, or whether there's not. It saves me some sticky notes.
Understand, no problem. We'll do that the next time for you.
Okay. And along those lines, I note that your letter to the plus comments is dated October 22nd. Of this year, and on all occasions, your responses are circulated to those state agencies, and then they tend to respond to you. So with that in mind, if there is a motion of some sort tonight, I'm going to suggest that we include the leaving the record open for the receipt of plus comments. I have no further questions.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Burton?
All my questions have been answered.
Okay. Mr. Lang?
No question, but there was a reference made to the helipad, and it would be a requirement that the applicants apply for conditional use for the helipad. It is a separate conditional use item.
And again, our intention is not to operate a helicopter operation or even have any helicopter service. We were just going to have an area where it would be safe and planned that a helicopter could land. So we're not really asking for a helipad, but we're just showing that as part of the planning process.
State police had to apply for it.
I don't think you can show it on your plan without, we can't approve it with it on there.
Well, then we'll probably not have it on there, but we'll have an area that will be
appropriate. I think you should ask for it, and I think they should give it to you. So, but the point is, you just have to ask for
okay,
it.
Okay, no problem.
We're good, yeah. Anything else, Mr. Lang?
That's all.
Okay. Stravitt?
No questions.
Council?
None. They've all been asked. Thanks.
All right, then. Well, we thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
If you'll stand by, we'll see if anyone has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use 1704 PMP Associates? Yes, sir. Step right up.
Good evening. My name is Lawrence Long. I'm at 36079 Bard Road, Roxana. I represent EH and ME Long Limited Partnership. We're adjoining owners next door. We realize that development's coming to this area. The properties here are on a major road. Central water's already in place. The public has spoken and said there's going to be a sewer district here. And this was zoned GR long before there was a state planning commission. It's refreshing to see that it's going to be what it is and not just another residential development coming along. But this type of project is going to preserve, at least for the moment, the woodlands behind it. And that's all I have. Thank you.
All right, sir. Well, we thank you. Does anyone else like to speak in favor? Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yes. And then, first of all, I need to be brought up to speed on this.
Okay, first of all, we need you to give us your name.
Yes, sir. My name is Dennis Allen Smith. I think we have property right across from it, my mother do, 15 acres.
Uh-huh.
But I'm all for it, but I just want to a little bit more detailed understanding.
Okay. We'll see.
So can I walk over there and...
Sure.
And maybe you can assist me in this.
Well, we're not going to have a question and answer. That's one of the rules.
We'll assist you or arrange to have assistance given to you. Okay. Hey, go ahead.
Thank you. Let me just... is this like a creative garden center? It's a place that have...
Yes, it is. Yes.
Okay. And it's basically in the area you have a little sign place that puts public here. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Okay. Right adjacent to that, for what it's worth, if I'm not mistaken, I need to recheck the record, but you have commercial property already there, just so you know.
Okay.
My understanding is confirmed. It's not absolute.
Mm-hmm.
So the main interest would be down in this area?
Mr. Fuquay, would you take a look at that, please?
This is the aerial that's just superimposing this on the plan. Here's the entrance.
Okay.
All right, you can see a better one.
Yes.
There's one entrance coming in there.
All right, guys.
Okay, that's all I just wanted to know, just have some clarity on it. But right. No, I'm 100% for it. I think it's a plus.
All right, then.
Thank you.
Anyone else wish to speak in favor? Anyone that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use 1704? Anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to spend the rest of your Thursday evening with us to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.
I wish.